God bless you, preacher. It's a joy to be here. Good evening. Good to see you. And Brother Chris, thank you for that message. That's a blessing to my heart. And did you get a blessing from that? Amen. That was good preaching. We're not only preserved, I started writing it down. We're preserved. We're protected. I mean, you can go right down the line. But it's a joy to be back. Of course, I tell everybody, when you're as old as I am, it's a joy to be any place. And I've had a good day today. Got my nap. How many got a nap this afternoon? Amen. That's got to be someplace in the Bible. I just haven't found it yet. But and you know, when I was younger, I used to tease everybody about, you know, taking naps and things like that. And now I take one every single Sunday, whether I preach or not. I take a nap. And now Monday, Tuesday through Saturday, I don't take a nap unless I'm raking leaves down at our place in Florida. We have a winter home that we stay in down in Florida, and then I fly in and out of Orlando or Fort Myers or some of the airports down there. Ellie, she goes with me if it's warm territory. If it's cold territory, she kisses me goodbye and says, I love you, and sends me on my way. But we have old oak trees down there, and those leaves come down, and they come down, and they come down. I'm convinced it's a direct result of the fall of man. But if I'm raking leaves sometimes and it gets hot down there, I'll take a nap in the afternoon for a little bit. So, but it is a joy to be here. I want to get right into the message tonight because I'm just so grateful and appreciative of you being here tonight. This is unusual. And Chris, you know this to be true. This is unusual. When you have as many folks back on Sunday night as you have on Sunday morning, you folks have got an unusual church. Very, very unusual. You don't usually see that any place. And but yet God has certainly got his hand on this place. And the only thing I've got, I'm looking for this sound man back in the baptistry someplace. And I'm thinking, where is that guy at? And where do you hide him? Oh, he's behind the mirror. Hi, how you doing? And is that a one-way mirror? It's a one-way mirror. How about that? And it is a joy. It is a joy to be here. And I trust I'll get an opportunity to visit with you, howdy with you a little bit. You know, let me just say this real quick. There's no big shots in the Lord's work. You know, God has used some of us, and thank God for that, because without him, we can do nothing. We're just simply vessels that God uses. And one of the things I've always thought and I always wanted to do and always have tried to do, and that is to make sure that wherever I am, there's always a group of young people know that there's an old preacher that loves them. And I try to spend time with the kids. Matter of fact, you had a bunch of little bus kids sitting here in the front row this morning. And I said to one little girl, I asked her if the boy next to her was her boyfriend. And man, she puckered up and, no, she said. And you know that little stinker? When she walked out holding his hand. She flat out lied to me. And tried to put on that she wasn't her boyfriend. I was going to tell her, you little liar, but but I didn't dare think I should do that to one of Brother Jerry's bus kids. Mom and that preacher said I was a liar. What I want to do in my time with you these few days that Ellie and I will be here, I want to build as we go through this week, because I think your theme is of God for 2009. The day and age in which we're living, if ever the Church of Jesus Christ needed to abound in the work of the Lord, people, it's today. It is today. And this morning, as we looked at that message from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and I trust and I really trust you put those five principles down that we gave you, because those are foundational. Anytime you're going to see a people that will abound in the work of the Lord, you're going to have to understand those three cardinal graces. You've got to see those, because that's what the gospel is really all about. It's about faith working. See, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, for him who comes to God must come by faith. So it's imperative that you understand that. But then there also has to be this matter of love laboring. See, you don't get paid to teach a Sunday school class. There's no monetary value given to you because you teach Sunday school, or you operate a bus, or you serve as an usher, or you sing in the choir, and bless your heart, don't you dare lose that music you've got in this church. You hang on to that for all the good you can hang on to. That is music that speaks to the heart. It's music that prepares the way for the preaching of the Word of God. And don't lose that music. So many churches have surrendered their music, and once the music goes, the message is not far behind. I've watched it now for years and years. Pastor, you've watched it. I know you have. And then, of course, you've got to see, you've got to recognize that there must be then this matter of hope enduring. You don't give up. You're going to have good days, you're going to have bad days, you'll have good weeks, you'll have bad weeks, you know, but you just keep going because you're preserved. That's why I appreciated that message so much tonight. But we must not lose sight of the fact they were a people who did have those three cardinal graces. They understood. They understood their salvation was clear. They knew they were saved. They knew they were born again. They knew that Christ was their Savior. And then they received the Word of God. They received that Bible with much power and assurance. Now, tomorrow night, the Lord willing, we'll take the message after tonight, because the message tonight is a little different, but it's a message that needs to be understood if you're going to have those blocks that your preacher talked about when he came to Minnesota years ago and he saw that graph that was there as to how the growth went at First Baptist Church. First 5 years, it was steady, but it was not significant. But then all of a sudden, it started jumping. Why? Because that foundation had been laid. And it was a strong foundation. It wasn't built upon man. It was built upon the Word of God. Amen. And that's the key to the whole thing. See? And once you get that foundation laid, then you've got to have the Word of God coming. Tomorrow night, the Lord willing, I'm going to preach on a message entitled The Ingrafted Word of God. The Ingrafted Word, it comes out of James chapter number 1. And in that chapter, in that passage of Scripture we'll look at tomorrow night, the Word of God shows us how important the Word is in our own lives. God has given you and me this book, not to hold and put on our shelves, but to read, Amen. To study it, to hide it in our hearts. And because it's the Word that does the work. My responsibility in this meeting is to preach the Word. And so we'll do that tomorrow night, the Lord willing. So as you're making those phone calls, and thank you for you many that raised your hand, and I trust that others that didn't, that you will have an incessible attack of hiccups if you do not do it tomorrow. And I still love you. But no, that's what you want to do. Make those phone calls. But then we also saw this morning, we saw that they lovingly serve God Almighty. But then they also are enthusiastic about that second coming. They were looking for the Savior. They understood this world's not our home. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And so tonight, though, I want you to take your Bibles and go to Song of Solomon, chapter number 2. And we're going to look at one verse of Scripture. And then from that one verse of Scripture, I want to go to another verse over in John chapter 15. And I want to bring a simple message tonight, and I'm well aware what time it is. I saw a couple of you taking a peek at your watch a little while ago. And that's all right. We're cognizant of the time. Matter of fact, one time we had in Minnesota, we had a guy that came to our services. And in our church, in our auditorium, we have two main sections, and then we have wings that go out on the side. This guy was sitting over on the left wing, and I was preaching on a Sunday morning. He was a visitor, never been there before. I was preaching about 10 minutes to 12. I happened to look over there, and he was checking his watch. And I'd been paying any mind to it, you know. I just went on with my message. And about 5 minutes or so later, I looked back over there, and he was looking at his watch, and he was holding his watch up to his ear. And I went on preaching, and about 10 minutes later, though, about it was 10 after 12, and my messages, I usually was done between 12:15 and 12:20. Our service starts at 10:45. But we have, you know, special music, and we have the choir singing, and we've got announcements and all this other business going on. But I looked over there, and he had his watch off, And when I looked over there, he waved his watch at me. Well, I took my watch off the pulpit. I always put it there. It doesn't mean anything, but I put it there and I waved my watch back at him. And he never came back. Sorehead, that's what he was. But I am cognizant of the time, and we'll give you the principles tonight. But there's a key message here and a key principle as you understand this principle that you've chosen for your theme for the year 2009. Abiding, abounding in that work. Because that's what the ministry is all about. So let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. Song of Solomon, chapter 2. Look at verse number 15 with me very quickly. We'll go over then to John chapter 15. Read one verse of Scripture. And then I want to bring just a simple message tonight talking about the subject, little foxes spoil the vine. Take us the foxes, the Scripture says in that 15th verse of chapter 2 of Song of Solomon. The little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My, that's a wonderful truth when you really study that truth out. Now go over to John chapter 15 with me. John chapter 15, the Gospel of John, chapter 15. And look, if you will, please, at verse number 16. This is a tremendous truth in the Word of God. Because the Bible says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it you. Think about that now. This is the Word of God. Is the Word of God true? Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. The Word of God is true. And so God here gives us in this one verse of Scripture a tremendous amount of truth that we need to remind ourselves of when the Spirit of God is leading a ministry to abound in the work of the Lord. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we love you tonight, and we are so grateful for your love for us. We're thankful, Lord, that you loved us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we're thankful tonight, Lord, that we can call you Father by faith in the finished work of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And I pray for these next moments now that you will allow the precious Holy Spirit of God to work in hearts and lives to where God, as the invitation is given tonight, we'll be able to give you the praise, the honor, the glory for what you will do in the hearts and lives of your children. And Lord, if there be one here tonight who does not know Christ as Savior, I pray, Father, that one would come to know him who's to know life everlasting. And for, again, your blessing, we'll thank you and praise you. We pray in his wonderful name. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. What I want to do this evening is I want to take this verse of Scripture from John chapter 15 and verse number 16. And I want to set that verse against the text that I've used from Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse number 15. And as we take these two verses of Scripture, I want us to learn some lessons that God gives us in the Word of God as you seek to remind yourself that the work that you are involved in at Blessed Hope Baptist Church is the work of the Savior. It's not your work. It's not Pastor Jerry's work. It's not Pastor Robert's work over here who founded this church 36 years. Man, that's thrilling, isn't it? That just blesses my heart when I think about it. Because so few pastors do that anymore. And now I'm not saying it's God's will that every man should stay for a number of years. I believe that there are different gifts and there's different plans that God has for, but I am saying this, when a man stands in the pulpit and says, God's leading me someplace else, oftentimes God had nothing to do with it. He had nothing to do with it. There was some old deacon that got cross-eyed or something and started giving him a lot of trouble, or there was some old, you know, other problem or difficulty that came along, and he thought it would be greener on the other side of the street, and every side of the street has some brown grass. And that's that simple truth. Now you say, well, what has that got to do with the message? Nothing, but God just laid it on my heart to say it. But it's a principle, though, that we need to remind ourselves of, because if you're going to abound in the work of the Lord, you've got to understand that there's a devil. There is a devil, and hey, incidentally, he's alive and he's well. And so he's seeking to thwart anything that will take place at the Blessed Hope Baptist Church in Janesville, Indiana. He's seeking to stop that. He doesn't want that. As I say in Minnesota, he... me on the pulpit mic and I won't walk. Don't worry about it. Ooh. Good job. And the mic died. The battery was on, and it was on while Brother Stancer was preaching. And so it's your fault. And there's two song leaders. Thank you. Matter of fact, that's a good position for you through the whole meeting. Get back down there. You couldn't have got right with God in that short time. Aren't you glad you're here?
Yes.
Amen. But there's two song leaders that I just love, that I've had the privilege to be with in meetings, and this is one of them. And the other one was Ray Hart. You ever heard Ray Hart sing, have you? Brother Ray Hart, who used to lead the singing in a couple of conferences that I would be in. And he was quite a song man, that for sure, a great soloist. And Brother Stancil, and incidentally, get those tapes. They're just outstanding. We have some of them at our place, of course, in Minnesota. But as I was saying, the devil is alive, and he's trying to stop what's taking place here at the Blessed Hope Baptist Church. So you've got to understand, though, that there's a principle in the Bible that if you'll remind yourself of what Song of Solomon says, you'll understand then how Satan operates and how he works in the day and age in which we live. Because if you look here with me at chapter number 15 in your Gospel of John, you'll see in verse number 1 that the scripture says, Jesus speaking, I am the vine, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. So what we need to remind ourselves of in the work of the Lord is that Jesus Christ is the true vine. It's about him. It's not about us. It's about him. Now, I well understand this is in connection, you know, with the institution of the Lord's Supper. But there's the principle here that I believe we can apply to this fact that we need to remind ourselves of when we are seeking to abound in the work of the Lord. We must not lose sight of the fact that Jesus Christ is the true vine. Because what that means is that any fruit is going to be the effort of the vine, not the branches or the leaves. And that's you and me. We're the branches and the leaves. So any fruit is going to be of the vine, not the branches, not the leaves. And you, the believing Christian, you that are here tonight who know Jesus Christ as Savior, you are the branches that would be attached to the vine. Look at verse number 5, if you will. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He settles it there once and for all. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. So what this verse shows us, it shows us that the Christian is joined to Christ. We're united with him. And as we're united with him, we're literally deriving our very life from him. And if you would take your Bibles, and we're not going to take time to do that tonight, but if you would go over and look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, you would see that principle taught in that verse of Scripture. So we are the branches, though, that are in the vine. Now, the branches, the Christian, is to bear fruit. And here's the issue, and that's what verse number 16 says. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. So the question becomes, what kind of fruit are we to bear? Well, immediately, usually, what we say is we're to produce souls. And that is true. We are to win people to Christ. Thank God that you are a part of a soul-winning Baptist church. Thank God in the services today, you saw souls saved. Thank God you saw souls saved in a nursing home today. Do you know that you saw more people saved in this church in one service that will be saved in months in many churches in the United States of America? Do you know that? Do you realize that? How blessed of God this place is. But the fruit we are to bear is the fruit of the Spirit, capital S. Take your Bibles and go over to Galatians chapter 5 and look, if you will, please, at verses 22 through 23, because there you're going to see the fruit we are to bear. This is the fruit that we spell with a large S, a capital S, because the Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit, verse number 22, in chapter number 5, the book of Galatians, for the fruit of the Spirit is, notice now, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such is no, notice that, no law. Now these verses that you read here in Galatians 5, these verses is giving us a picture of a vivid picture of the Christian life as our Lord intended that it should be. That's the fruit that you and I are to bear as a child of God. And as we realize and recognize, we are attached to the vine, and any fruit is going to be the effort of the vine. We, therefore, must maintain that relationship with the vine, because without him, we can do nothing. So then, what's the problem? Well, here's the problem. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. Go back there and look at the verse with me, if you will. Because what Solomon is saying there, it's a wonderful principle. He's simply telling us that because of the fact that we are human beings, because of the fact that we are, should I say, carnal beings, and we are. Let's recognize that. As I said this morning, we all have a new nature by faith in Christ. If you're here tonight, you do have that new nature, but you don't think for a minute you've lost your old nature, because I'll ask your spouse and they'll verify you have it. And so we come back to that verse of Scripture, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine, for our vines have tender grapes. So what's the problem? The problem is that if we don't recognize there are going to be little foxes that come into our lives as a child of God that are going to seek to hinder and take away the growth, the tender fruit, we're going to wind up in deep trouble. The church is going to lose sight of what their theme for 2009 is all about, abounding in the work of the Lord. And those little foxes are what we could call biblically sins of the spirit, small s. Say, where in the world does the Bible say that? 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Go with me for a moment. Notice what Paul writes to those carnal Christians in Corinth. Are they saved? He says they are. He says he's writing to the saints. You check chapter 1. It's in your Bible. But he says this in chapter 7 and verse number 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 7. He speaks to these carnal Christians, and look at what he says in that verse of Scripture. He says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. And what's that next word? Amen. Spirit. Amen. Small s. Small s, not capital S now. So you've got a new nature, because that new nature is the Spirit of God abiding in you. When you accepted Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God indwelled you. You might want to call it baptism of the Holy Spirit, indwelling of the Holy Spirit, one and the same. Now, the filling of the Holy Spirit, different story. But small s, sins of the Spirit, small s, that's your old nature. See? And here's the problem. Most Christians, they're not guilty. They're not guilty of what we would call, you know, vile, gross sins. They're not guilty of that. That's not the issue. what they're guilty of. They're guilty of little foxes. Little foxes that spoil the tender vine. Sometimes, beloved, that those sins of the flesh that are gross sins. See, we think, well, boy, because I'm not like those murderers. I'm not like those adulterers. I'm not like those blasphemers. I'm not like those drunks lying in their own vomit in the streets of St. Paul on Sunday morning. The devil's not worried about them, folks. He's worried about you attending Blessed Hope Baptist Church. He's trying to get you to quit doing what you're doing. He's your enemy. And because we think we are not participating in those gross sins, that we don't have any sin. Those sins of the spirit, small s, beloved, they come sometimes unnoticed into our lives. And they spoil the vine. They take away the fruit. They're little foxes. And every one of us in this building tonight are subject to those little foxes that'll take away that tender fruit, that'll cause us to lose our joy, cause us to lose our love, cause us to lose that peace that Paul said to the Galatians is yours because of what you have by faith in Christ. I've broken them down into three simple thoughts. The wrong things we say, the wrong things we do, and the wrong things we think. Because basically you can take them all together and put them in one of those three categories. The heart sins, the wrong things we think, way down deep in inside, where we live as individuals, where no one knows us except the God in heaven who created us. See? The jealousy. Turn this mic on. How do you get this mic on, Brother Jerry? Down the bar.
There's a little switch right here.
There's a switch. Well, I'm blind. I can't see switches. Heart sins. Jealousy. Pride. You couldn't fit all the preachers in America in the Metrodome of Minneapolis, Minnesota, that seats 60,000 people. You couldn't put all the preachers in that dome that haven't been bitten by the fox, the little fox, of pride and jealousy. You're not talking to any rookie here tonight, gang. This old man's been around the block a few times. I know what I'm dealing with. And it's absolutely appalling. Appalling to see what's in so many of our so-called pastors' hearts today. In the last 10 years, I have seen more men have to resign their pulpits and their ministries because of gross sins than I have in the previous 38 years of my ministry. You think about that. It's appalling. And you know, here's the sad truth. That didn't start as a big fox. It started as a little fox. And because of pride and because of jealousy,
they lost to the devil. And if you're sitting here tonight and you think that'll never happen to me, you're living in La La Land. Because except for the grace of God, there goes I. There goes the old man you're listening to tonight. We are what we are by the grace of God.
Amen.
And it's critical that we understand there's a little fox. There's a little fox. And it's in the heart. Heart sins. I go on and I call the others lip sins. The wrong things we say. I don't have to elaborate on that, I don't think. But be careful, little lips, what you say. You sang it this morning, preacher. Be careful, little lips, what you say. For the Father up above is listening down in love. Oh, be careful, little lips, what you say. And then, of course, the wrong things that we do, behavior sins. And whether we like it or whether we don't like it, you know, we're all at some point in life, we're guilty of it. Treating each other harshly. We have a Christian school. We've had, matter of fact, Cheryl graduated from our Christian school. You guys have a Christian school. How many young people go to Christian school here? Let me see your hands. Okay. You ever treated anybody harshly? Huh? We've got a Christian school. We have a couple of hundred kids in the school this year. And it's amazing. Now, I'm not there a lot. But it's absolutely incredible. Little girls in the fifth and sixth grade. If you're going to be friends with her, then you can't be friends with me. Because you're going to be my friend and nobody's friend. Boy, are you in for a wide, wide awakening. But and they're Christians. Their daddy is a deacon. Their mother, you know, teaches Sunday school, sings in the choir. And I'm thinking to myself, what in the world are you all doing? A Christian treating each other like that. That's a little fox. Little fox, you don't deal with that puppy. I'll tell you what, it's going to keep growing. And it's going to keep growing. And one day you got a big fox that you're going to deal with. A big, big fox. So that's the story. That's the message. You've got to watch out for those little foxes, because as you're seeking to abound in the work of the Lord here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, the old devil is going to be trying to stop that program, neighbor. He's going to try to stop it. And you know, it's like the kids sing in our beginner department. The devil is a sly old fox. If I could catch him, I'd put him in a box. I'd lock the box and throw away the key for all the tricks he's played on me. And so he doesn't start out with a real big fox. No, he starts out with a little one. Sometimes almost unnoticed. But boy, oh boy, if you don't deal with that little fox, that puppy's going to grow to be a big one. So what you've got to learn to do, you've got to learn to recognize those little foxes. And when God shows you those little foxes, you deal with it. As preacher said this morning, so appropriate, so right on target. How many of you here would love to see somebody saved today? Hold your hand up, and hands evidently went up all over the place. And then he made that classic statement. Well, then if God maybe is speaking to your heart about something and you're going to sit there and not respond, how can you expect God then to speak to the heart of the unsaved? Because your burden, your prayer is not getting any higher than that ceiling. Because if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Learn to deal with those little foxes. If you forget everything else I say in the days I'll be with you, I beg you in Jesus' name, learn to deal with those little foxes, people. Slay those little foxes. That's what Paul said. Go back to Galatians chapter 5 with me here for just a minute. And I was planning to quit it at 9 o'clock, but bear with me. Give me 5 minutes, if you will. But this is so vital that you see this tonight. But go back to Galatians chapter 5, and let me show you here very quickly how Paul says that these saints at Galatia are to deal with the devil as he's trying to infiltrate their lives. Look at Galatians chapter 5, the very next verse after 23, where he gives those 9 fruits of the Spirit. Look at what he says in verse 24. And he says, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lust." You see that? What he's saying there, he's saying, round up those little foxes. I mean, put them to death. Kill those rascals, is what he's saying. Because if you don't, they're going to become a bait fox. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 16. Look at what he says in that verse of Scripture. "This I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Look over at Galatians chapter number 6, and look at verse number 8, and notice what he says there in that verse of Scripture. "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap" what? Life everlasting. Rely upon the Holy Spirit of God. Have a great relationship with the Holy Spirit of the living God, because he's abiding in you. He knows you. He loves you. He's desiring for your life to be abounding in the work of the Lord. So learn to yield to the Spirit of God. Learn to stay submissive to the Spirit of God. Learn to trust the Spirit of God. I didn't want to go to Rosemont, Minnesota. I was a Florida boy. I grew up in Florida. I knew what the weather was. My daddy didn't raise any dumb boys. If he did, it's one of those 3 younger brothers of mine. I didn't want to go. I picked up the telephone, Brother Jerry, to call them and tell them I'm not coming. And I told them, I said, "I'll call you at 6 o'clock your time, that's Central Time, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. I'm just finishing up seminary in Chattanooga. I'll call you at 6 o'clock your time. I'll be there," he said. "I'll be there." I called 7 o'clock on the button, 6 o'clock Central Time. Ding, ding, ding. Phone's ringing. Nobody's answering. No answering machines back in 1967. No, phone's ringing. I looked up and said, "See, God, they can't even tell time. How are they going to build a church?" I hung the phone up. And the Spirit of God started working in my life. He started saying, "Bad decision. Little fox. Bad decision." Went out behind the cottage where we were living. We had a ministry at a children's home. We were the parents to 13 teenage girls. Our kids didn't have a prayer when they got to be teenagers. 13 of them. Matter of fact, one of the great pictures was to see Ellie take that Chevrolet carryall with 7 or 8 of the girls and walk into a clothing store with those girls. And she's 29 years old with teenage girls. They're all looking at her like she's a miracle. And I got on my knees. And I said, "God, they're not answering the phone." And he said, "You call again. This is where I want you to go." Well, the long short of the story is I went. But I didn't still plan on staying. I was going to do 1 4-year term as a missionary to the Eskimos. But by the grace of God, I was able to go. And God used that time to show me this is my plan for your life. Now I look back on it, And I say, man, Lord, I almost blew it. You sure knew what you were doing in the life of Ed Johnson. I've had the privilege to travel the world. Asia, Europe, Africa, all over the world. Matter of fact, Brother and Mrs. Gordon sitting down here, their daughter is married to a young man who was the youth pastor at Florence Baptist Church in Florence, Montana, where the pastor is Tim Johnson, who I held when he was a year old. You think of that. Tim's a preacher now. Been there at Florence for years, doing a great job. I said to Mrs. Gordon tonight, thank you for raising a pastor's wife, because their son-in-law and daughter is now going to a suburb of Missoula, Montana, to start a church. Boy, God, you sure knew what you were doing. I almost blew it. Little foxes, don't let them grow up. For Jesus' sake, don't let them grow up. Let's bow our heads for prayer.